Hello and a warm welcome to you. My name is Pastor Jeffrey Bonach, and this is St. Paul's Lutheran Church, and this will be our traditional worship service today. We're glad that you've tuned in and have joined us. As we are looking at things that are going on, there may be some community needs that you might have or that you know someone has. Just a reminder to you that we are more than willing, happy to help out in any way we can. Sally Wallner is our contact for that, so just call the church office and her extension and get in contact with her if you have any questions or any needs, or even if you want to help in any way, we truly appreciate that. Also, would like to let you know that the pastors here at St. Paul's are always more than willing, very happy to be able to talk if you have any questions or concerns or just need someone to talk to, some advice or anything. Again, you can call the church office, any one of our extensions, we'd be happy to talk with you as well. We are in that season of the year, generally, where we have all kinds of graduations going on, and so we at St. Paul's would like to say a hearty congratulations to all our graduates, whether you're grade school, high school, or college, and we wish you God's richest blessings as you make your journey into this new stage of life. So one of the things that we have just recently begun is we are doing in-person worship, finally, again. And I guess one thing that we want to say as we talk about this is that it's really important for us that you feel comfortable, and we are doing our best to keep things as safe as possible. And we realize that people have very different opinions about what they feel comfortable with and do not feel comfortable with. So one of the things that we will be doing is continuing this online worship for those who feel that they would rather worship from home at this time, and that's awesome, that's great, continue to do so. But if you are interested in coming back to worship, we are offering a couple different options because some people feel more safe with people singing and without singing, so I would encourage you to check out the website, muskego.org, stpaulmuskego.org, and that'll have all the information. You'll see a couple different buttons on there to be able to press to get information about what's going on with online worship. So I encourage you to do that. With that, I'm going to introduce you now to Pastor David Keel. He's going to be the one who will be leading our worship service today.
Greetings and welcome to St. Paul's. As Pastor Bonach mentioned, I am the preaching pastor this weekend. And that's why I'm standing here next to this plaque. This is something that the congregation gave to me on my 35th anniversary in the pastoral ministry. And it's something that hangs over my bed at home. It's a fantastic promise from God that he knows all the plans he has for me. And that's part of my message today, that we have a God who is a perfect planner, and that he's had us in his mind before the creation of the world, and every plan he has for us will come to fruition. The scriptures begin with five simple words. In the Hebrew, just three. In the beginning, God created. It's always struck me that God the Holy Spirit didn't feel the need to identify himself or explain who he is to the world. He simply but profoundly says that he is the God who created the world. And so this weekend we're celebrating Trinity Sunday, celebrating the person and work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I just want to rejoice with you that we have a creator God who is so powerful and so wise that first he formed the world, and then he filled it with life. And so today we celebrate that we have been created by God. Let's begin our worship service. Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, our God, who are you? You pardon sin and forgive transgressions.
You redeem our lives from the pit and crown us with love and compassion.
You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity.
As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us.
Confident of your forgiving love in Christ, we humble our hearts and confess our sins.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Savior and friend.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you fill the heavens. The earth is your footstool. You are awesome in power. You are perfect and holy. And yet you fill our cup to overflowing with your love and grace. We confess you.
Glorious eternal Trinity.
We worship you.
Divine majestic unity.
Defend us in our faith. Until that day when we will see you face to face.
Knowing even as we ourselves are known.
You live and reign, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the message now by opening up God's Word. And I encourage you to do so. We'll be taking a look, first of all, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. We've been talking about the creation and just thinking about how beautiful everything was, new and perfect. At that moment, God created all things. Well, here Paul talks about the newness that God is going to recreate in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is God's word. Our second lesson is our gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And this is John's depiction of that first creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Take away my sin.
Grace and mercy, peace and joy be yours through a knowledge of God our Father, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God's word before us today, as we continue our Pentecost potential series, is the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. For those of you at home, I urge you to have your Bible open or your Bible app on your phone. I don't intend to read all 31 verses of the chapter. I'll be quoting those verses during the course of the sermon. So at this point, I'm going to read the first and last verses of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. These are God's words. Let us pray. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, O Lord. Amen. There are two questions that every one of us ultimately will ask, namely, where have I come from and where am I going? The book of Revelation answers the second of those two questions, perhaps the one that's most on our minds during this pandemic and civil unrest time, as God reveals to us the future and tells us how this world is going to come to an end. The first of these questions we find in the book of Genesis, especially in its opening chapters. And so today, as we continue our Pentecost potential sermon series and celebrate the person and work of the triune God, let's look at our beginnings under the simple theme, created. And we know three things. Number one, God is the only creator. Number two, God is the Lord of time. And thirdly, God is the perfect planner. Unfortunately, some view the opening chapters of Genesis as nothing more than a legend or a myth. But if God's word is truth, as it claims to be, do we have a right to separate these chapters from the rest of Scripture? Neither Jesus nor any of the 40 inspired scriptural writers viewed the creation account as anything but factual. They viewed the scriptures as a whole and therefore completely true. This then is our starting point. And if you are someone who's struggling with this, then I urge you to talk to any one of us pastors. We want you to know where you've come from, why you're here, and where you are going. Moses starts out, "In the beginning, God created." Scientists tell us that the universe has always existed, or at the very least, that there was some kind of ancient energy before the Big Bang. But if we take the scriptures seriously, there was a very definite point of origin, a starting point before which no one and nothing existed but God. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says this of himself. "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself." Since God was before creation, he is the eternal creator. Satan's lie is that there was no eternal creator and that you and I are nothing more than the results of time and chance. My friends, this is just a theory, a hypothesis that has never been proven. Science has never been able to create even the most basic forms of life. The theory of evolution is and will ever remain just that, a theory. The Bible says that before the existence of the universe,
before the world, before time, before life, before anything, God created. Now, the Hebrew word which the Holy Spirit gave to Moses to use here is the word bara, a word that means to form out of nothing. Only God can form out of nothing. And what did God first create? He created time. For the very first time, there was a beginning. And God created the heavens, that vast space out there, the end of which even our most powerful telescopes cannot see. And God created the earth, not just the ground on which we walk and stand, but the basic elements of the universe, from which he then created everything else. Time, space, physical elements. Do you see these for what they are? They're the basic building blocks of everything we know. Time, space, physical elements. These three things God created first, and then everything else, all within 24-hour days, six of them. But there's something else. In verse 20 of Genesis chapter 1, Moses writes, God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures." Do you see it? God created life. No one can create life out of nothing, not even Mary Shelley's Dr. Frankenstein. Only God can do that. God is the only creator. Only the eternal God can create out of nothing. One of the most common arguments against the biblical account of creation is the contention that this simply couldn't have happened in six 24-hour days. Humanly speaking, that's right. From everything we know about the sciences, it takes time for things to grow. Grass, trees, plants, even humans don't grow overnight. But do you remember what Jesus once said? What is impossible with man is possible with God. You and I worship and serve the God who does the impossible. The Almighty God who caused torrential rains to flood the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The God who caused the waters of the Red Sea to open up and allow some 2 million Israelite people to pass through. The God who caused the sun to stop dead in its tracks for 24 hours. He's the God who, in the person of Jesus, walked on the water, healed the sick, raised the dead, who in love took our sins to the cross and then rose again from the dead on the third day. Ours is a spirit God who caused saving faith to spring up and grow in our hearts. All of these are things that are impossible according to our human way of thinking, but they're not too difficult for God. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible for the triune God. Of this triune God, the Apostle Peter writes, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." What you and I would figure would take some thousands or millions of years to accomplish, God can and does do in a day. Why do we feel the need to limit God? What God tells us in his word will never fail, never. It's the truth, the absolute truth. No fewer than six times in this opening chapter of Genesis, we are told God said, and it was so. Something else that's worth noting in these opening words of Genesis are these words repeated throughout the chapter. And there was evening, and there was morning, a day. The Holy Spirit very carefully used a word, yom, in the Hebrew, which literally means a period of time. It can mean a longer period of time, like a week or a month or a year or a number of years. But in the Holy Scriptures, whenever this word is used with a number, it always means 24 hours of time. No exceptions. It's very clear what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us here. Our God created the universe and everything that exists in six ordinary 24-hour days. God is the Lord over time. When we spend some time reading through Genesis 1, we see how carefully God planned and prepared every step in his great creative work for the existence of life. First, God formed the foundation. And then on that foundation, he built the house. In verse 7, Moses writes, "And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it." God made the atmosphere by separating the water above from the water below, the sky and the ocean, the first two rooms in his house. And then in verse 9, Moses tells us about the third room when he writes, "And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry land appear." The third room in God's beautiful house of creation was dry land. But no one ever builds a house for it to stand empty, do they? So, after forming the heavens and the earth, God began to fill them. On the fifth day, he filled the ocean with fish and the sky with birds. On the sixth day, he filled the dry land with animals, even causing the land itself to produce the animals. And then finally, God came to his great climax, the culmination of his creation, Adam and Eve, the first two human beings. These two people God created in his own image, in his own likeness, something that we'll look at next week. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." Yes, God had a perfect plan. He didn't just create all things and then let them fend for themselves. God is the perfect planner. Did you know that even before he created the heavens and the earth, God had you in mind? Did you know that even before he got around to forming all the things that he did, God planned for your salvation in Christ? Did you know that God has all the plans for your life laid out for you? In a verse that so many of us hold near and dear to our hearts, a verse that you captured on this plaque that you gave both Pastor Ponitsky and me for our 35th anniversary in the pastoral ministry, God says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to help you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future." You and I have a God who knew us even before he established the foundations of the earth. A God who loved us all the way to the cross in Jesus Christ. A God who grabbed hold of us and made us his own for time and eternity in the waters of holy baptism. Oh yes, God is the perfect planner. If we subscribe to the theory of evolution, then our world is millions of years old, and life's principle is basically that the strong survive the weak. In other words, millions of years of sickness and weakness and pain result in life. But God tells us that everything began good, very good. It's a Hebrew idiom when God says it couldn't get any better. At the beginning, there was no death, no suffering, no sin. These are all things that we have brought into the world. When Adam and Eve succumbed to Satan's temptation in the Garden of Eden and rebelled against God. For Paul the Apostle writes, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. In a Polish museum, there's a sculpture of Mary holding Jesus. It was on a street corner for years, but nobody really noticed it. The city decided to clean it up and restore it. But as they began restoring it, they discovered that it had been painted 27 times. Under 27 layers of paint, they found a priceless masterpiece from the Middle Ages. All these layers of paint had obscured its beauty. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we try to cover ourselves with the paint of our goodness and behavior and try to make ourselves look good in the eyes of God, when at the beginning, God created Adam and Eve to be priceless works of art? How we need to recognize our sins and repent of our foolish attempts to make ourselves look good before God. We already are. In Jesus, we already are. Not only did God create us, but He saved us from our sins by the priceless, precious blood of Jesus. No matter what we've done or left undone, Jesus removes the paint of sin's ugliness from us and restores us to be what God intended us to be in the beginning. As Paul the Apostle reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God. My friends, we are created twice, in the beginning and in our baptism. To God be the glory. Amen. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Throughout the history of the church, God's people have struggled at times to hold on to the truth of what God's word teaches. And one of those truths is this teaching of the Holy Trinity, which we can understand why it's a struggle, because it's difficult to understand. One of the creeds that was formed that focuses on this truth is the Athanasian Creed. And we use this on Trinity Sunday as a reminder of what we believe about our triune God. We'll do this responsively, and I invite you to join me as it is so indicated. The Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Christian faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one,
the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord,
So also we are prohibited by the Christian religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, not begotten, but preceding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born of the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Christian faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
This is the point in our traditional service where we receive the offering. And just like to take a moment to thank all of you again for your incredible generosity, especially during this difficult time. The gifts that you share with God's church are doing tremendous things as we continue to reach out with gospel ministry. And a good example of that right now, as I'm looking at it, and that is the camera that we are using, which was recently purchased because of the generous gifts of God's people. enabling us to do what we're doing as far as online worship even better. So thank you so much. And for those who are interested in continued sharing of those offerings, so the best place to do that is to go online, stpaulmuskego.org/give, and you can give your offering that way. Another way, of course, is to mail it in, which you can do as well. Let's now continue with the prayer. Holy, 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 O blessed triune God, your threefold name was placed on us when we were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. On this day we worship you, three divine persons in one God. Keep us ever mindful of your grace and glory. As we look about and see the wonders of creation, O Father, help us to see behind them the only Creator, the Lord of time, and the perfect planner. As we hear and ponder your word, O Christ, help us to see your marvelous love in coming to be our Savior from sin. As we live our lives by the gospel, may you, O Holy Spirit, live in us and guide us every step of the way. Grant us the grace to continue in this faith until we join the hosts of heaven that cry, Holy, 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 before your heavenly throne. Lord God, at this time of pandemic and social unrest, we ask you to look with mercy on our nation. Frustrate the plans of those who would stir up violence and strife, and bless the efforts of all those who promote harmony and peace. Give to our local, state, and national leaders a special measure of wisdom and patience as they carry out their tasks, and grant that justice may prevail. Help us, as bearers of your name, to reflect your love in all we say and do. May the preaching of your gospel, which alone can bring true peace to human hearts, be heard throughout our land and our world for the good of many and to your glory and praise. O triune God, from you and through you and to you are all things. We rejoice to call you Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so to praise your holy name forever. And in your name we pray the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Oh.
us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have found in your word and in your assurance of love and forgiveness the rest that you have promised.
Refreshed, renewed, and revived, we are ready to work in your kingdom.
We gladly take on this burden, for it is no burden at all for those who live in your love. We worship and bless you now and forevermore.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.